Oh my goodness, thank you all for coming out on this glorious sunny Sunday afternoon. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here and to share with you my perspectives and some of the wonderful and interesting insights and knowledge that I've uncovered or gained to this point in my life's journey that I would dearly love to share with you today. Before I begin, let's open with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here today safely. Thank you, Lord, for always being there to support us with a divine and perfect love for all your creation. Thank you for the fabulous life and abundance around us that you provide. And Lord, thank you for the ability, knowledge, and inspiration to grow and to give, to understand and be grateful for this bountiful life we get to lead. Amen. One thing that I've learned that I'm absolutely positive about is how very truly blessed I am. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation, things are always working out for me. When I consider the odds of me being born into this world are trillions to one, any lottery win or jackpot in the world pales by far in comparison. In fact, I think the word blessed is kind of an understatement. I find it funny that many people see life as kind of a living hell when I consider this to be my grand prize and my greatest gift given to me by God. See, I believe there are two parts to us. There is the physical and the non-physical. The stuff that we see and the stuff that we don't see. I can see my phone, yet I don't see any of the million potential signals in the air that it has the ability to perceive and receive. I don't doubt that they exist because I've learned how to manipulate the phone in order to see the results that I want. And so we have a physical body which we can see, and we also have a soul or spirit which we cannot see. So the metaphor that I came up with, and I think really illustrates the point, and it's kind of appropriate at this time of the year with Stampede being in full swing and with the North American Show Jumping Championship at Spruce Meadows ending today. And that is of a horse and a rider. Consider my conscious mind and physical body being the horse and my soul or spirit as being the rider. When you see an accomplished barrel racer, calf roper, or show jumper, and you see the potential of how a rider and horse can perform together in perfect harmony, it's almost poetic. I've heard it said that a horse can run faster with a rider than it will on its own. Now, although I'm uncertain if that's entirely true, what is clearly obvious to me is that when they work together, they are greater than the sum of their two parts. In the case of show jumping, if the horse and rider are out of sync, or if the horse becomes flustered or fearful, the horse may refuse the jump. And this can create a serious problem. And as I would like to call it, contrast. And so I would define contrast as being the difficulties or challenges that we face throughout our lives. And I'm sure that you have experienced a life full of contrast. But contrast is essential in order to fulfill God's purpose for us, which I believe is to grow and create. Because I'm sure that all of us can agree that the times within our lives that we truly grew the most were when we faced the biggest challenges. And so as the horse and rider continue to practice becoming familiar and understanding each other, they are developing the necessary skills to perform at their peak, and to be able to compete at a professional level. But this takes a great deal of time and patience, because this darn horse has a mind of its own. And this horse has a mind of its own and may not always do or act the way the rider has intended. Let me put it to you a different way. When I plant a seed of corn, I don't expect to go out later in the day and harvest the corn for supper. I understand that it takes time to grow. It needs to be watered and nurtured. Just like I recognize that when humans and animals reproduce, they need a gestation period for them to grow and develop. But often in life, when we end up experiencing contrast, we ask God for help. We are often like little children on a long car ride who are always asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" The destination becomes far more important than the journey itself. And believe me, God knows and hears our prayer, understands our contrast and the turmoil that we face. And God will always provide a solution. Although we do not see the solution right away, and we begin to question whether prayer or meditation works, whether God actually exists, or if he really cares or is on our side, let me assure you that God is within each and every one of us, that God knows exactly what we face, and most importantly, has already provided an answer to your prayer, to the contrast you have or the desire that you want. But what we have to understand is that the solution will never be provided from the place that you launch this request. That you have to be in a receiving mode. That there is a clear difference between those two positions. And in order to get there, you have to go through a gestation period, a period of preparation for you to truly be in that receiving mode. So therefore, the stuff that we see, so that includes our body and our mind, as well as the material world around us. And the stuff we don't see is our consciousness and our subconscious mind. In either case, energy is the catalyst that keeps our world, as well as our mind and our bodies, functioning. The simple truth is that absolutely nothing can be powered without energy. One of my favorite things that I love about Calgary is the amount of sunshine we get on an annual basis. In fact, Calgary is the sunniest city in Canada. And I consider myself very fortunate that my living room has an unobstructed view that faces east. And one of my absolute favorite things to do is to watch the sunrise. And I'm fortunate that I can do it 365 days a year, weather permitting. I will often just sit with a coffee and quietly watch the magnificence of another day beginning and thoroughly enjoy every single moment. I think it's just amazing that the sun is 150 million kilometers or 93 million miles from Earth, and it takes 8.3 minutes for light to travel that distance. Without the sun's energy, life on Earth as we know it wouldn't exist. Everything that is living requires energy to survive. Even the weather, the ocean currents like the jet stream, and the Earth itself need energy in order to function. In 1842, Julius Robert Mayer introduced us to the law of conservation of energy, which states that energy can neither be created or destroyed, only converted from one form to another. And this brings me to an interesting conclusion. What if we are, in fact, energy attached to a physical form? Could it be that God is pure energy? It certainly would put an interesting twist to the creation story. Were we just dirt and we were imbued with this energy that allowed us to be who we are today? What if God is our eternal power source? The way that we resemble God is through God's consciousness and not through the physical manifestation that we have always assumed to be. That death is merely an end to our physical being and also the final conclusion to our lottery win, but at this point we are converted back to our original form to once again join with God. You see, when I take away my need to be right, when I open my mind to any possibility, when I loosen the ropes of religiosity that bind us to certain approved ways of thinking, when I can tie myself from the physical world around me, and when I can stop being an observer and become the creator that I was meant to be, then I believe I am tapping into the essence of what God, our source energy, wanted us to be. When I can truly unshackle myself from the notion that it's all about me and see that every living being, whether it be human, animal, or even plant, comes from the same energy source, and that we all return back to that energy source because we cannot be destroyed. We are, in fact, eternal. When we can really see and understand the complexity and interdependence of the world around us, for example, our own physical bodies, as we are discovering through medical science, is an absolute miracle. How the health of our whole body depends on the health of all its many individual parts. And how, when we can extrapolate that to the whole world and suggest that every single person plays a part, regardless of physical characteristics, appearance, gender, race, once we can move away from this dog-eat-dog mentality or only the strong survive, once we look past things like poverty and religion, once we can look at and love all of creation as Christ did, that is when we become the true essence, the creators, the physical manifestation of love that we were always meant to be. Because throughout our entire lives, we are consistently being bombarded with thoughts, behaviors, beliefs, and experiences from other people and things around us. These shape how we see and understand the world and the reality that we live in. We are consistently being influenced by parents, family, friends, coworkers, not to mention the plethora of different media. We are influenced by our jobs, religion, culture, our environment, and the other sources that are constantly flooding our mind with information. But because there is so much information that we have to process on a daily basis, we sift through all these inputs to create what we call our reality. We pick and choose from this vast amount of sensory information around us, and all of these will ultimately form the perspective of the individuals that we have become. The strange thing is that we all live in the same world. We live in the same reality at the very same time. Yet my concept of an understanding of reality will always be different than everybody else's. Who's right and who's wrong? Well, the truth is, nobody's right or wrong, because there is no right or wrong. It's just reality. And how you perceive your reality is your decision and not anyone else's. Right and wrong is you applying your values and your reality to a specific idea or behavior. And especially when it comes to things that affect your moral compass, like sexuality, religion, or politics, which are a few fine examples, let me assure you that the people around you are not going to see reality the same way you do. They are not going to value the relationships the same way that you do. We often call these discrepancies names like generation gap, etc. But the simple fact remains that all it is looking at life from a different perspective. They are looking through life with a different lens. And when you are forcing someone else to accept your point of view, as opposed to allowing them to have their own view of reality, you will never be able to have an open mind if you have to be right. You will never be able to fully understand or accept other people's concepts or situations if you don't have your mind open. The funny thing is frequently we simplify and rationalize these different viewpoints to further our own perspectives. Because everybody, and I mean everybody, again, regardless of age, gender, race, etc., see and understand their lives differently from one another. Have you ever gone to a movie with your best friend or your spouse? You loved it. They hated it, right? Same world, same reality, even with someone you share common ideals, values, and experiences with. And they may not share that same sentiment. And they may not resonate with you in the same way. Let's use another example. A courtroom is a wonderful way to prove this point. Have you ever watched an episode of Judge Judy? Here again, you have two people experiencing contrast with two completely different perspectives on the same situation. How is this possible? Clearly, there can only be one truth, and therefore one of them must be lying. But what if I were to suggest that to you that I actually believe that you could both, that they could both be telling the truth, but just seeing it through their own reality or perspective? One of the lines that I love in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar is when Christ comes before Pilate and he says, so you are a king. And Jesus says, it's you that say I am. I live for truth and I am damned. Pilate says, so what is truth? Is truth unchanging law? We both have truth. Is mine the same as yours? I always try to look at my life with an open mind. I find that when I am rigid in my thinking and feel the need to prove that I am right, then I'm approaching that subject with a closed mind. And when I do this, I am no longer on the leading edge of thought. For example, when a product or service has been new and improved, the main reason it has is because someone has had an open mind that things could be better, faster, or more comfortable. I find that whenever I approach my own life with an open mind is when I truly begin to grow and develop to the human being God has always intended me to be. The funny thing, again, is that I find that when I do this, that occasionally this idea or thought creates a resonance deep within me. And I feel like I am in complete alignment with a deeper truth, a kind of aha moment. Because I know that when I have an idea or thought that really resonates with me, and I mean really resonates with me, it touches me in a way that is almost ethereal, bordering on magical. They provide me with insight and perspective that I feel an instant and deep rapport with. Something that not only makes sense to my conscious mind, but also somewhere deep within my soul as well. because I believe that God has created and imbued each of us, each and every living entity, an energy. I also believe human beings were designed by God to be creators, although most of us are habitual observers at best. Many of us will observe the world around us as happening to us rather than for us. Of course, it is what we observe and experience ourselves or learn from others that will frame our belief system. And again, there are many examples. Let's take the weather, for instance. As we observe the weather, predictable patterns begin to develop over time. We begin to recognize these patterns, and we begin to say things like, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. And so through the ages, as we build and grow, all these ideas and inventions build on one another. For example, we've learned about Sir Isaac Newton and the laws of motion, which in turn led to Einstein's theory of relativity. And so each and every one of us has a belief system within ourselves based on a variety of different ideas and concepts, a belief merely being a thought that we think on a regular basis. It's absolutely amazing how our knowledge and understanding keeps exponentially expanding in so many different fields and disciplines. And each and every one of us will pick from this assortment of knowledge and experience to form our perspective and our viewpoint. Although it is unfortunate that especially these days there's such a great deal of misinformation, often deliberate, which can distort a person's perspective as well. This has always been the case throughout history, though, and it seems that it has recent years advanced by leaps and bounds. For example, it was generally accepted that the world was flat. I would suggest to you that that theory has officially been debunked, although there continue to be people today who still feel that the earth is flat. How can anyone in this day and age seriously think that the earth is flat? Now, when I hear people espousing this point of view, I have to ask myself, are these people really genuine, or is this just some kind of gag that they're perpetrating? Many of the ideas and concepts and actions of other people do not necessarily ring true to me. And sometimes I come across an idea, thought, or belief that really speaks to me with truth and clarity. It's like meeting someone and falling in love. I meet and interact with people on a daily basis, and I always try and treat people with understanding and compassion. But occasionally I will meet someone or do or understand something where there's an immediate connection with them or it. This is a special and unique and aligns with something within each of us. And so I believe that God created me and that God resides in me, that I am both spiritual and physical at the same time. I believe that God is eternal and that my spirit is an extension of God. I believe that God has created me as a physical being that I might be able to experience the contrast of life. In order to grow as a spiritual being and later join with God to augment the magnificence and omnipotence of the Holy Spirit. When we greet someone, we say hello. In Hawaii, they use the word aloha, which is also used to say goodbye to people. In other parts of the world, the word is namaste, which literally translated means that I bow or acknowledge the light or the God within you. And so, we are all God's creations. And I'm just so thankful that I have this opportunity to experience all the wonderful, wonderful things that God has provided for me.